Gilman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game, big story today. Frank Reich, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, announcing Carson Wentz will have foot surgery today. The timeline they gave was 5 to 12 weeks. What's 5 weeks from now? He'd be able to start week one at home against the Seahawks. What's 12 weeks from now? 7 games into the season, which means the Titans would have already played Indianapolis once. Their first 5 games, and let's just say that Jacob Eason, who is their current backup quarterback, let's say Jacob Eason is the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. Colts-Seahawks week one, who wins?
Seahawks.
Colts-Rams week two, who wins?
Rams.
Colts at Titans week three, who wins?
I already said, put it in Sharpie, Titans win.
Week four, at the Dolphins, Jacob Eason is the starting quarterback of the Colts.
With a Carson Wentz team, I say Colts. With Jacob Eason, I have to lean Dolphins.
Okay. Week five at the Ravens. Who wins?
Ravens.
Okay. So that's the situation the Colts find themselves in. And we said on Friday, there is no way the Indianapolis Colts will go with Jacob Eason as their quarterback. They'll make a move. And we had on a guy from Indianapolis talking about the possibilities and everybody. And I hate this whenever there's a coach opening or an offensive coordinator opening or a GM opening, and you get all these people that call in or text it. Well, what about this guy? What about that guy? What about this? And it's like this morning, Robbie and Joe talking about, what about Mariota to the Colts? They're not going to trade for Marcus Mariota. Marcus has too big of a contract. Marcus hasn't done enough, and Marcus doesn't know the system. At some point, you have to know the system that you are going to when you are going either in the middle of the season or right before the season. You can't grab a quarterback and expect them just to go in there not knowing a system and be able to compete in it. So when it comes to Frank Reich in Indianapolis, you need what I consider the Andy Reid tree. So somebody with experience in Kansas City or in Philadelphia under Doug Peterson or in Chicago under Matt Nagy, or having played for Frank Reich before in either one of those stops or San Diego. That's it. You can't add a guy and say, all right, here's the ball. We saw them do that with Jacoby Brissett a couple of years ago, and it took Brissett a couple of months before he even looked like he knew what was going on there. Quarterback is the hardest position to play in the league today at practice. The Titans were running 7-on-0 against air on offense, and Todd Downing would call out the play, and there's like 13 different things that are going on at one time. And if you're the tight end who has to run that sluggo route, well, you know that you got to do one thing. If you're the quarterback, you got to know 5 things plus the offensive lineman plus what the defense is trying to do to you. It's really complicated. And so here's the Colts. Now, I can't believe that Jacob Eason is the answer in Indianapolis. They signed Brett Hundley over the weekend. But the problem with that is that he sucks. So what are their options? And the truth is, there's one real option Indianapolis, I believe, has that somebody would be willing to give them without just bending them over a barrel. And yet, I don't think they can do it. Because I think that answer is Nick Foles. Now, we all know Nick Foles has spent most of his career, at least the memorable part of it, as a backup to Carson Wentz. And when Wentz gets hurt, Foles goes in, Foles plays well, okay. I remember when Jacksonville signed Foles a couple of years ago to that $88 million contract, and I was worried about Jacksonville, a team that had gone to the AFC Championship game and had won in spite of Blake Bortles as their quarterback. I looked at Foles, and I thought, oh, man, that great Jacksonville defense with a capable Super Bowl-winning quarterback, oh, man, that could be bad. And Floyd, who scouted Foles coming out of college and actually liked Foles coming out of college, wasn't really all that concerned. And it took 1 week before Nick Foles broke his collarbone and never really won the starting job in Jacksonville back again. He had a shot last year with the Chicago Bears when Mitch Trubisky was terrible, as we all expected, and he went in there to go play quarterback for the Chicago Bears, and he too was terrible. They went back to Trubisky. So Foles in his career has been okay in Philadelphia. He's been terrible with the Rams. He was great as a backup in Philly, terrible with Jacksonville, and now terrible with Chicago. The chances are the guy is probably a little terrible, but he's still the best option that the Colts have. So why wouldn't the Colts make the move? By the way, unlike other deals that you could make in the NFL, where when a team knows you're desperate, they're going to raise the price, you wouldn't price gouge if you're Chicago, Indianapolis, because not only are they not in your division and they're not in your conference, but also, quite frankly, Andy Dalton right now is your starting quarterback and Justin Fields is the second guy there. And you don't really have any interest in Nick Foles on your team. So if you gave him away to Indianapolis, you'd just be shedding that salary and you wouldn't have to worry about it. So why not pick up a conditional 7th round pick and let Nick Foles go to Indianapolis and stink it up there and you just mind your own business? So they would make the deal. But I don't think Indy can do it. And the reason I don't think they can do it is because they have backed themselves into the corner that they have to believe in Carson Wentz. They traded a 3rd and a 2nd or 1st in order to acquire him. And they're banking everything on Carson Wentz being a success. And one of the bigger issues when it comes to Wentz was not the idea of his health, though his health has been just as much of an issue, if not the main culprit of his problems in Philadelphia. But it was also the mental reclamation project that a lot of people in Indianapolis were banking Wentz on occurring, or at least succeeding with, given his relationship with Frank Reich. Well, how do you acquire Nick Foles to be your backup and look at Carson Wentz and not say, yeah, we need insurance for you because we don't trust you, so we went out and we got this guy? Then what does that do to the aforementioned mental reclamation project of Nick Foles? Of Carson Wentz with Nick Foles there. The Colts really dug themselves a hole this offseason. Why is Jacob Eason their backup? Why, when they acquired Carson Wentz, did they not sign a veteran backup who had been out there for a while? I don't know. I would love to know what they think. And it's not as if they didn't have a fair crack at it. Jacoby Brissett was on their roster. He'd be the perfect backup to have to go in there right now and play for the Colts. I've already declared that the division is over, and barring something absolutely unforeseen or unreasonable, the Tennessee Titans are going to the playoffs and will be representing the AFC South. When the Titans send out their tickets this year, they can go ahead and send the wild card round two because they're going to win their division. Houston's a mess. Jacksonville's rebuilding with a college coach. And Indianapolis is banked on Carson Wentz. And already 3 days into training camp, it has come back to bite them. But the one move Indy could make that might save their season, and I don't think it's going to save their season, but the one move that might save their season, I'm not even sure they can make. It is an amazing situation to put yourself in. And it leads me to another question, Caroline, that I have about the Indianapolis Colts, and we'll get into that next. But again, the one thing I worry about before the Colts traded for Carson Wentz was that Indy could pull a rabbit out of their hat. Just like Kansas City, who was stuck in purgatory with Alex Smith as their quarterback, did when they traded up in the first round and drafted the kid that nobody knew anything about from Texas Tech. They pulled the rabbit out of the hat. Good organizations do that. When the Titans traded a 4th-round pick to Miami for Ryan Tannehill to be the backup, and he turned into the most efficient passer that year since Joe Montana, all of a sudden, they pulled the rabbit out of the hat. That's what good organizations do. Trading for Carson Wentz kept the Colts from being able to pull the rabbit out of the hat. And here the Colts are. But there is one thing I still just don't understand that we'll get to next. 615-737-1025. And how much do you fear Indianapolis? How much do you fear them? 615-737-1025. We're live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. Stillman & Company. We're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
You're going to ask, well, what's the time frame? And, you know, the easy answer is there's no, we're not going to put a time frame on it right now. We're just going to see how it goes. But, you know, all you got to do is just ask the doctors what the time frame are. So we asked the two best doctors in the world, what's the time frame? And here's the answer. The answer is the time frame is 5 to 12 weeks. That's the time frame for this injury. That's a big range, okay? And there's no way to know where you're going to fall in that continuum until you get into the rehab process. Now, obviously, we're optimistic and hopeful that we can be on the front end, somewhere towards the front end of that. But the reality is you can be anywhere in that spectrum. We have good case studies right here in Indianapolis of guys coming back on the front end of that, you know, on the front end of that time period. So, but at the end of the day, we just have to trust the process, trust the doctors. We feel like we got the best in the world doing it. He'll stay right here to have the procedure done, you know, with Dr. Porter. We were good. You know, you got the two best guys in the world, you know, one in Dr. Anderson, one in Dr. Porter. You know, ultimately the decision was made just to stay here, just for the ongoing nature and because he's in-house here. And we felt comfortable with both those guys, but that was the decision that was made.
There you go. That was the great Frank Reich sitting there talking about the decision to have surgery for Carson Wentz. And when he talks about having the best doctors in the world, do you think he's trying to convince me? Or do you think he's trying to convince himself when he said like three or four times in a row, we got the best doctors in the world. I mean, we just feel these are the best doctors, and we feel great about these best doctors in the world.
I think he's trying to convince himself because, like, I don't care. Like, are they really the best doctors in the world? Like, if you're telling me that's what your team doctors are saying, then I'm going to believe it. So it sounds like he's trying to convince himself. Like, okay, this, I believe this. This is going to be okay. I'm okay.
I would never say that they're the best doctors in the world, even if they are, because then if it doesn't work out, everyone's going to point the finger at you with, I thought you said these were the best doctors in the world. You know, that kind of stuff, which I...
And I highly doubt they are. No offense to them.
But speaking of best in the world, I always love this when it comes to the Indianapolis Colts, which is look at the mess they found themselves in. They have Carson Wentz as their quarterback. He's hurt. And now everybody on television is singing the mourner's kaddish as far as they're concerned on this season. But then we have to remember that everybody thinks that the general manager at Indianapolis, Chris Ballard, is the greatest general manager who ever lived. If you flip on ESPN every offseason, whenever they talk about the AFC South, it's always, Indy's got this unbelievable roster. Chris Ballard, Frank Reich, they are the best. I don't know how you do it, but somehow they've got this unbelievable roster. Even Dan Orlovsky today. And remember that Carson Wentz got benched last year on a bad Eagles team that fired its Super Bowl winning coach. And the year before was a de facto playoff team in a terrible division and got knocked out in round one. Even Dan Orlovsky today won't let it go. And it's not just ESPN, because they do the same thing at Fox, but will not let it go as far as the undeserved love that the Colts organization gets. Here's what he said.
They are a division winner, playoff good football team, and potential Super Bowl team, depending on how well Carson Wentz plays. They aren't that with those other guys. So if they believe he's somewhere around that five-week frame, you stay patient, stay committed to who you are identity-wise as a team, and trust and hope. There's some hope and luck tied to this,
yep,
that he gets back for as many games as possible.
Now, he said that on SportsCenter. There are people watching him say that in Phoenix, Arizona, that are like, oh, okay, yeah. They're not a division winner. When's the last time the Indianapolis Colts won the AFC South? I believe Ryan Grigson, who was the general manager before Ballard, who everybody thought was the worst, I believe Ryan Grigson was the general manager the last time the Colts won the division. So they're not division winners. They're not Super Bowl contenders. They're not any of these things. But you go on TV, and they tell you all the time how great Chris Ballard is. And I think Ballard's fine. I think Ballard has convinced a lot of people because there's like some sympathy for him that they weren't an unmitigated disaster after what happened with Andrew Luck, that people will say Ballard builds a great program. But does he really? Let's compare. Chris Ballard takes over the Indianapolis Colts. He immediately, as soon as he gets a real chance, fires the head coach, Chuck Pagano. Now, he never really had a chance as far, talking about Pagano, never really truly had a chance because Andrew Luck got hurt again and they acquired Jacoby Brissett and they had to run Brissett out there and they weren't very good. And I believe Pagano was a coach of the year or something like that. And Pagano gets fired. So he then hires Josh McDaniels from New England to be the head coach. Except that McDaniels left them at the altar. There were other coaches they interviewed, like Houston Texans defensive coordinator Mike Vrabel, but they were unable to hire because they had made their choice up on McDaniels. So Ballard screws that up, where he goes after McDaniels, doesn't get him, ends up with Frank Reich. Now, Reich hasn't been terrible, so it looks good. But it was the 2018 season where they bring in Reich, Andrew Luck returns, they make the playoffs, and they draft two All-Pros, Quentin Nelson and Darius Leonard, that everybody just threw their hands in the air and just said, this guy is the best general manager. Indianapolis's roster is awesome. They are. But they haven't really won anything. They picked Phillip Rivers over Tom Brady last year. They didn't win a playoff game. They haven't won a division since he's been there. They haven't even really, outside of last year, where the Titans had maybe the worst defense in the NFL. They really haven't honestly even been close. And here's Ballard in a situation in Indianapolis where they put all their eggs in the basket of a quarterback who can't stay healthy, and he gets hurt 5 minutes later, and now it's a total mess. And yet you won't hear anybody on ESPN or anybody on Fox, Colin Coward, you're not going to hear these guys that just love Chris Ballard that are going to say, like, maybe he's a little culpable for making this kind of mistake. Like, maybe just a little bit. And I think it's absurd. By the way, when John Robinson took over the Titans, they didn't have Andrew Luck. They were the worst team in the NFL 2 years running. They had the worst record in 2014, tied with Tampa Bay, and they had the worst record in 2015. So they were the worst team 2 years running. They've had five straight winning seasons. They made the playoffs three of the last 4 years. And nobody ever talks about him. Now, the first round picks, you know, leave a little bit to be desired. But at the end of the day, all that matters in football is winning. Ballard can be the greatest drafter of all time. He can be the Warren Buffett of managing the cap. If you can't find a quarterback and you can't win, eventually that should count for something. And I look at this mess the Colts find themselves in, and I hope somebody will look at the general manager and think, shouldn't you have been a little bit more prepared? Shouldn't you have thought this was a possibility when you invested everything into Carson Wentz? And by the way, the 5 to 12 week timeline, what kind of timeline is that? If Wentz doesn't play at the beginning of the season and the Colts are doomed this year, then they'll go into next year and everybody will say, this is a prove-it year for Carson Wentz. But nobody will say it's a prove-it year for Chris Ballard because in their minds, in spite of not accomplishing really anything, they all think that Ballard's already proven it. 615-737-1025. Our text line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do we have in the text line, Caroline?
One texter texts in and says, Jared, you said pro sports are a business. So if there is a better backup out there for Wentz, you can't worry about Wentz's feelings and you have to get who gives you the better chance to win. Also, if he comes back, who's to say that he gets hurt again?
So I would agree with the second part, that I think it is very likely that Carson Wentz gets hurt again.
Mm-hmm.
That if Carson Wentz, you know, comes back and he's the starting quarterback week two, that by week eight, the chance that it's, you know, broken ribs or plantar fasciitis or concussion or yellow, you know, scarlet fever, whatever, that it's something that he's got. You know, I mean, it's something. It's like he got concussed in a playoff game. when Clowney hit him in the head with his helmet, and people are like, how can you say he's injury prone? He got concussed. That could happen to anybody. I'm like, I don't know. It just happened to him. It always happens to him. You know, there are guys, I can't describe what makes a guy injury prone, but Wentz is that guy. I agree with that second part. The first part
about
the
texture says, who is to say that he gets hurt again? So,
I mean, I'm making the assumption that, I mean, it's probably more likely than not that he gets hurt again.
I mean, it's an option for everyone.
But it's a more than likely option for him. You know, Derrick Henry doesn't get hurt very often because Derrick Henry's built differently. Carson Wentz gets hurt a lot. I mean, they're saying that this injury was from high school, which I think is total bullcrap. But they're saying this injury was from high school. And it's like, okay, he got hurt in high school. He got hurt in college. He got hurt in Philly. He got hurt again in Philly. He got hurt again in Philly. Now he's hurt in Indianapolis. I mean,
trends.
Like, come on now. The first part about the feelings and how, okay, you've got to acquire Nick Foles if you're Indianapolis to be the starting quarterback while Carson Wentz is out and you can't worry about Wentz's feelings. Like, that sounds good, but that's really not true. You know, yes, it's a business, but the it's a business decision basically comes when you decide to fire somebody. Basically, when you decide that their feelings, that their talent does not outweigh, you know, what it is to get rid of them, that's when it becomes a business. It's always technically a business, but you can't look at Carson Wentz as you are committed by a third and second round pick and the $20 million in cap space you're allotting to him. You can't be committed to him and then pull out the, it's a business, but we still believe in you even though we're acting like we don't. You can't do that in that league. So I know it sounds nice to say, but it's not how this works. Was it?
Another texter texts in and says, what if the Colts could acquire Deshaun Watson?
How?
I don't know. Do they have the assets to acquire Deshaun Watson?
I mean, again, anytime it comes to Deshaun Watson, I literally just think to myself, how?
But and also, why?
Why would they do that? Well, I mean, why would you do it? The guy's a great quarterback. You get Deshaun Watson.
Who may or may not be in jail.
But that goes back
to
the how. So it's like when you say, okay, what if the Colts swing a trade for Deshaun Watson? And I say, how? It's not, can you trade for him? Can you afford him under the cap? Are you willing to take the risk on adding him to the cap? How do you have him and Wentz on the cap at the same time where you're now looking at probably, and I haven't done the math on this, but probably $50 million in cap space at quarterback. You have an $180 million cap. You're really going to spend $50 million of it on quarterbacks? So I don't understand how you make all of that work. I don't understand what you do with Wentz if you end up trading for Deshaun Watson. I don't understand how you invest in Deshaun Watson not knowing what the future is going to hold for him. I don't know how you convince him to waive his no-trade clause. Like, there's so many things that are, it's like, how? It's like, yeah, I mean, if you could resurrect Babe Ruth and put him in right field, I'm sure that that would be a problem. But how? So, no, I don't think Watson is an option for anybody in the NFL. I don't think he's an option for the Texans right now either. What's next?
Ben texted into the text line and said, had Robinson not lucked into Tannehill working out in the Titans offense, they wouldn't even be a playoff team, especially with the downward spiral of Mariota. So easy on the praise of J-Rob.
So I would agree with that, except that that's not how that works. In the NFL, you are what your record says you are. 5 winning seasons in a row, 3 out of 4 playoff years, an AFC championship game, and for the first time in forever, people here are allowed to have expectations and feel that way. He drafted Derrick Henry in the second round. He's drafted great players. His first draft, he hit 3 All-Pros, Jack Conklin, Derrick Henry, Kevin Byard. I mean, look, the man can't find a kicker, and he can't exercise a fifth-year option to save his life. I get it. I don't think J-Rob is perfect, but I just can't stand when I flip on the TV and I see people talking about how great Chris Ballard is in Indianapolis when he hasn't won jack. And I think sometimes the things Robinson has done are totally overlooked even around here. Now, again, I will rip on that John Robinson rear end if I feel like John Robinson's screwing up. I don't think there is any doubt that I will go after it if I feel like he's making a mistake. I still don't know how they ended up with Isaiah Wilson. But I will say this, I don't think Ballard's doing a better job. And you also can't knock Robinson for lucking into Tannehill. Do I think they lucked into Tannehill? Yeah, a little bit. But I also think that sometimes those are shrewd acquisitions. You know, you go look at Warren Buffett and all of the companies that Berkshire Hathaway owns. You don't think there were some moves Warren made over the years where he thought, you know, this is a good business decision, and then it exploded? I'm sure there were. So I think that sometimes it's easy to knock a guy when you want to make up something like that, but ultimately he pulled the trigger on the deal for Tannehill. He got Tannehill. He's got an efficient quarterback. He's in the playoffs. Indianapolis either is with an old man, Phillip Rivers, or is not with Jacoby Brissett. And now they got Jacob Eason. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll get back to some of your texts on this. 615-737-1025. And I would say this. While I do enjoy kicking Indianapolis while they're down, and while I do think Indianapolis should be kicked for investing all of this into Carson Wentz and having the most predictable outcome 3 days into training camp happen to them, sometimes you worry about pointing the finger and then if it comes back on you. But I have some insight into that next. Stillman & Company, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are delivered by TriStar Moving, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Those guys take great care of my home, and I promise you that they can do the same for you. It's so easy with Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and they've got great deals for the summer. Get your free grilling must-haves when you make home improvements, like a free Yeti Tundra cooler with the purchase of a new tankless water heater, a free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of a new whole home generator, and a free Traegerwood pellet grill with the purchase of select new HVAC systems. My friends at Hiller guarantee their work with the happy you'll be or the services free guarantee. And I tell you that they will be, you will be, happy because they do a fantastic job. These deals are only available for a limited time, so you need to call ASAP. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, proud supporters of the Preds and the Vols. Hiller, call the Happy Face Truck today.
The energy was noticeably higher today. Practice, is there anything?
Probably a day off. I don't know. You know, maybe a day off, and they get you know, some rest, and they, you know, come back. Maybe the red zone, trying to just, you know, be smart and also use, you know, these reps to get us down there in the red zone. Just seeing where guys are coming off of a break and a day off, you know, trying to shorten the distance. And I think it, you know, I think we accomplished a lot just from the speed of it and what it looked like. And like you mentioned, the energy. So, you know, we'll have to keep that up going forward here and being able to compete and take care of each other. And I have a lot of energy when pads go on tomorrow.
That was Mike Vrabel. Pads go on for the Titans tomorrow at camp. So we're sitting here and we're making fun of the Indianapolis Colts because they have absolutely no answer right now at quarterback going into this season. They don't know when their quarterback's going to come back. 5 to 12 weeks on the recovery for Carson Wentz. We look at the Titans who have Ryan Tannehill, and I think we feel very comfortable about it. In fact, even Vrabel today got a kick out of the 5 to 12 week timeline. Ian, if you could, I asked Vrabel about the Carson Wentz news, and again, that is a 5 to 12 week from today. If it's 5 weeks, Wentz starts the opener at home against the Seahawks. If it's 12 weeks, the Colts are probably looking at 1-6 or 2-5, or maybe even 0-7, honestly. You know, this is like when Curtis Painter was their backup, and they lost Peyton Manning for the year. And this is what Vrabel said when asked about the Carson Wentz timeline.
Carson Wentz, it was announced, going to have foot surgery out for the next 5 to 12 weeks.
5 to 12. I know. 5 to 12.
But you guys play
them in
9 weeks.
I like your chances of being right.
You guys play them in 9 weeks. How much do you kind of keep an eye on?
Well, that falls right in the middle of it, doesn't it? I don't know. They're going to have whatever they're going to do. Got a lot of respect for Frank and his football team and that organization. We'll figure that out when it comes. Whenever that happens, but we got a lot of work to put in, before we get there.
Okay, I love Vrabel, but even he's cracking on the Colts today. So some people would say, well, you name me a team in the NFL that if the starter goes down, they have a good option for backup quarterback. I mean, if Tom Brady goes down in Tampa Bay, Blaine Gabbert has to take over, and what are they? And that is a fair point. But Tom Brady doesn't have a history of being injured. Ryan Tannehill, for example, knock on wood, does not have much of a history of being injured. He tore his ACL, as did Brady, but other than that, has pretty much been healthy for most of his career. And one thing I will say about having covered practice now for the first week, and I'm the only afternoon radio show host in town that goes to practice and covers the team at practice, but what I would tell you is that Logan Woodside has very clearly established himself as the backup quarterback of the Tennessee Titans. And I know that sounds crazy because Logan Woodside was, I believe, undrafted by the Bengals out of Toledo. He spent a year on the Titans practice squad. He came back to the Titans after a stint in the AAF. He got cut again by the Titans and spent another year on the practice squad. And then last year, he was just kind of there, but he never played. So when fans hear Logan Woodside, they think of the backup quarterback position. They look at the situation Indianapolis finds themselves in, and they think, oh my God, should the Titans not have gone after somebody with more experience? I heard a reporter in town like a week ago before training camp started that said Kaiser's going to be the backup because Logan Woodside is just not a good football player, is what that reporter said. And I laugh because I've been there now for 4 or 5 days or whatever it is. Logan Woodside is very clearly the backup. In fact, today, and what I do when I go to practice and they do 11 on 11 or 7 on 7 or 1 on 1s or drills like that, is when you do something good, you get a plus. So, for example, Jayon Brown had a pass defended in the end zone on number 89. Tommy Hudson, 55 plus 1. Tierre Tart on a pitch broke through and would have tackled the running back for a loss or 2 or 3. 93 plus 1. Christian Fulton had an interception of Ryan Tannehill for a ball intended for A.J. Brown, 26 plus 1. Logan Woodside today, 3 pluses, no minuses. I can't think of DeShone Kizer going through a day and not having a minus in the limited reps he gets. Logan Woodside, I wouldn't say, is Neil O'Donnell. If you were to lose Tannehill for 5 weeks, that Logan Woodside would go in there and go 4-1. But I do feel pretty good about if they've got to play Logan Woodside, that Logan Woodside won't mess it up. That Logan Woodside could hold his own in an NFL game. That Logan Woodside would know what he's capable of doing. And maybe in 3 weeks, once preseason games get going, I'll look like the biggest idiot in the world. I doubt it, but maybe I will. But I'm looking at my notes today. For example, there was one ball, Tannehill intended for Cody Hollister, where Jackrabbit Jenkins got beaten. Tannehill overthrew Hollister, and Hollister still could have caught the ball and didn't. 17 minus 1, 20 minus 1, 16 minus 1. Later, Tannehill overshot Julio Jones. 17 minus 1. Tannehill still had a good day at practice, but he wasn't perfect. Number 5, plus 1, strike to number 80. That's Chester Rogers. Number 5, by the way, is Logan Woodside. Number 5, plus 1. Number 5, plus 1. Logan Woodside looks pretty decent in practice. He threw a ball today for a touchdown. Joe Rexroad, standing next to me, said, boy, I'll tell you, the improvement that Logan Woodside has made has just been impressive. And maybe Joe will tell you that tomorrow morning. I don't know. But that's what he said to me. And I'm not saying that if you were to lose Tannehill for the year, that I would think the Titans are going to knock off the Ravens or the Browns or the Chiefs, because I don't. But again, I'm looking at Indianapolis and laughing. And I say this without knowing much about Jacob Eason other than what I knew in college. But I don't fear the same situation for the Titans, for many different reasons, but the biggest being that I actually think Woodside's okay. I think he's an okay backup. He's different than Billy Volek, but I think it's similar to Billy Volek, where Billy Volek was almost a practice squad guy. This was in the old day of third quarterbacks, where you could deactivate your third quarterback on game day, and if the other two quarterbacks got hurt, you could bring the third quarterback into the game. The other two quarterbacks just couldn't play. And so they got rid of that rule. Now everybody carries two quarterbacks, and the third guy usually goes in the practice squad. That's what's going to happen here. Woodside's going to be the backup to Tannehill. Kaiser's going to go to the practice squad if they, in fact, keep Kizer, and I think they probably will, unless Atlanta cuts a quarterback they like more or the Rams cut a quarterback they like more. But it's very well defined. I don't think Kizer could do anything in these preseason games to win this job. I think it is Logan Woodside's backup job. And so Billy Volek was the backup for a couple of years. When he had to get in there for Steve McNair, he won you some football games. Now, he was different because he could chuck the ball down the field, and that's not Logan's MO. But I think as far as being a backup who wasn't, you know, a top draft pick or a Heisman Trophy winner or anything like that, but just a guy who I think the team trusts, I think Vrabel trusts him. And that's why I think he's going to be the backup. And if you had a similar situation where Tannehill might miss a couple of games, you know, Dan Orlovsky asked the question on SportsCenter as far as Jacob Eason was concerned today about whether or not Jacob Eason could just win a game, Ian, if you could. And I'm telling you what I've seen from Logan Woodside at practice, I think Logan Woodside could win you a game. Here's what Orlovsky said about Jacob Eason.
Let's play the hypothetical. He misses two games. Is Jacob Eason good enough to turn around and hand the ball off 40 times to Jonathan Taylor in this run game and go 1-1? Is he good enough to do that? Because if the answer to that question is yes, they're going to be okay. Because everyone's going to go, well, trade for Marcus Mariota or Gardner Minshew. First of all, you gave up potentially a 1-3 for Carson Wentz. Maybe it'll be a 2-3 depending on how long he's out, right?
So I look at this and I'm saying, look, I don't think Woodside's great, but I feel much better about Woodside and the backup quarterback situation than I did a week ago because Woodside looks to be effective and efficient so far at training camp. 615-737-1025 will hit your reaction on all of this. Again, the Colts stuff, I think the AFC South is over. I think the Titans are going to win that. 615-737-1025. Plus, we'll hit the headlines with Caroline coming up as well. Stillman and Company were delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. I'm sure I have something to tell all of the fine folks out there about. And, of course, very, very important stuff.
You told me it was important, and it is very important.
This Wednesday is your chance to participate in the Nashville SC Pick to Click, brought to you by Camarena Tequila. If you guess correctly which player scores a goal in the game this Wednesday, you win a prize pack and a four-pack of tickets to an upcoming Nashville SC home game. Participate this Wednesday morning at 9:45 a.m. Stillman & Company's delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. Stillman & Company, Titans practice tomorrow with the pads on, which means I'll have to be like more in tune with the offensive and defensive lines. Like I'm going to have to get more checks and minuses because you'll see some guys getting a thud. Now you get a little thud in there 4 yards back in the backfield. So everybody that's pumping T.R. Tartt's tires, and he graded out well today. Everybody who's pumping his tires, we'll see tomorrow when they put the pads on. So, of course, 2 o'clock tomorrow, we'll have full report. Again, this show goes to Titans practice. Maybe unlike some others. It's time, though, for headlines at other camps with Caroline.
We're spanning the sports world. It's headlines with Caroline on Stillman & Company. Right here on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
So several Minnesota Vikings players are holding out due to COVID-19 protocols, and Mike Zimmer, their head coach, is absolutely irate, and he wasted no time letting us know exactly how he feels. First of all, he says he's frustrated and having specific players that he can't mention exactly who, but mentioning that is exactly why people should get vaccinated. He says this Delta variant is tough. You can see the cases going up every single day. Now that's why, for the sake of everybody's health, I think it's important. He said, we will do the best that we can, but it is disappointing. He mentioned the word frustrated several times about the current state of his team's vaccination rate and the way that his team has been dealing with COVID-19 protocols. So, interesting to see how that will all fall out.
So I think
with the Minnesota Vikings,
I think a lot of this, you know, I don't want to say a lot of this surrounds Kirk Cousins, but I think it's pretty amazing how perhaps the quarterback sometimes is the embodiment of how your whole team reacts. So Kirk Cousins is unvaccinated and doesn't want to get it. Kellen Mond, the backup quarterback, tests positive for COVID-19. And so now Cousins is on the COVID list mm-hmm. because he's a close contact. And I think a lot of people think chances are pretty good that Kirk Cousins is going to test positive because that's normally how this works. Now, they have signed quarterback Case Cookus to be in practice because three quarterbacks, including Kirk Cousins, landed on the COVID list. And I think it's funny because Cousins doesn't want to get vaccinated, and Zimmer, clearly it's driving him nuts, and you can't win without a quarterback in the NFL. Tannehill doesn't want to get vaccinated, but did get vaccinated because ultimately he decided it was in the best interest of the team in order for him to get vaccinated. And I think that shows you maybe the difference there in the organization, but also the difference in the quarterback and the leader. And these are things that have followed Kirk Cousins for his entire career. So I look at those two and I compare them, and I think, you know, that's probably fairly accurate, you know, where you have leadership on one team that buys into what's being preached, and you have leadership on another that doesn't. And I sympathize with Mike Zimmer, but I will say this, acting like people that don't want to get vaccinated are stupid because they don't want to get vaccinated, which is, I think, the gist of some of the things Zimmer said. For example, when asked why players won't get vaccinated, he said, boy, they read a lot of out there stuff. I don't think that's what convinces people to get that shot. So I would maybe look in the mirror a little bit saying, hey, you're the coach. Like, you've got to figure out. Zimmer's too old school for this. You know, Zimmer's too old school to pander to the players. He's more of the, hey, I'm the coach and everybody does what I say kind of guy. But it is a mess in Minnesota. And can I just say for the record that, and I'm not a Minnesota fan, but like, I think Zimmer's reached his peak. I think Cousins has reached their peak. I think they are what they are, and they're probably better off taking their entire organization and getting rid of at least one of those two, but probably both. Definitely get rid of Cousins, but maybe get rid of Zimmer too and just say like, okay, let's start over again.
It feels stale in Minnesota.
It does, and it feels like Cousins is the root of a lot of that.
Probably.
What's next?
Devontae Smith has sprained his knee in Saturday's practice. He left, realized he, after and a lot of looking with the medical team, it came up that he has sprained his knee. Now, the Eagles have said we're not overly concerned about this. He will be expected to miss a few weeks, but we're 4 to 5 weeks out of the start of the season. The Eagles do hope to have him back for week one, but said that he would need to return to practice within 3 weeks of week one in order to see him in that first game of the season. Jalen Hurts said he's a smart guy. It's always valuable to have someone in practice and on the grass and get those reps. But in due time, he'll be back. We'll continue to get better in other aspects. So I don't think that this news is really a huge red flag for the Eagles, but something to monitor.
So everybody gets hurt in the NFL. You know, as Mike Vrabel would say, the injury rate is 100%. But this is when Devontae Freeman was, what, like 160 pounds? And all the other receivers were like 190, 187, 210.
Devontae Smith.
Or, yeah, I said Devontae Freeman. Devontae Smith is like 160.
He's
right?
Little.
Like, that was like one of the big fears, was that he was 160. And why was it a fear that he was 160?
Small guys get hurt.
Because small guys get hurt. So this, I think, is going to be something at least worth monitoring. Again, everybody gets hurt in the NFL. The big guys get hurt too. You know, but we'll see. Is this going to be something that affects Devontae Smith for the rest of his career? And is that why you saw Ja'Marr Chase go and Jaylen Waddle go ahead of him? Because there is a fear of small guys.
And a wonderful player, a wonderful pick by the Eagles, but
I mean, it's a wonderful pick if the guy balls out.
It's a conversation that we had when all of this was coming out about his size, so definitely something to monitor. But we also, if you know, we thought we're going into the NFL season. We've got plenty of NFL news. Little did you know we would have a little bit of hockey news in the hockey offseason. Not great news, though. The NHL is investigating claims that Evander Kane, San Jose Sharks forward, has bet on his own games and has intentionally tried to lose those games for his own gambling gain. So Evander Kane's wife, Anna Kane, posted to Instagram on her Instagram story, how does the NHL let a compulsive gambling addict still play when he's obviously throwing games to win money? Seems like somebody may address this. She also added, can someone ask Commissioner Gary Bettman how they let a player gamble on his own games, bet and win with bookies on his own game? So Evander Kane responded, said, I've never gambled or bet on hockey. I've never gambled or bet on a San Jose Sharks game, never gambled or bet on any of the games, and never thrown a hockey game. Now, it is public knowledge that Evander Kane has had issues with gambling in the past.
Sure.
The NHL will conduct an investigation, and they are meeting today to decide who will conduct that investigation. Exactly what does that look like? But the NHL says we do not intend to discipline Evander Kane quite yet. We're not going to jump to any sort of conclusions just based off of an Instagram story. But Evander Kane's had issues with gambling in the past.
So let me say this. I am never going to take the word of somebody's ex-wife. Ex-wife, right?
He says soon to be ex.
Okay. I am never going to take the word publicly of somebody's ex-wife when they are in the middle of a divorce proceeding.
Yeah. Especially like, on an Instagram story.
Yeah. Look, Kane's got problems with gambling. I mean, mm-hmm. He had to, you know, I think what he declared for bankruptcy last year.
Yeah. He had like 500 grand tied up in either a sports book or a casino.
I think it was like 1.5 million, and he had like $26 million in debt or something ridiculous. So, anywho, yes, Kane, I mean, there's smoke there. Now, is there fire? I don't know. But I am not taking the word of somebody's soon-to-be ex-wife as to, oh, well, it must be true. He's throwing games. He's gambling games.
Yeah.
I do think the league needs to privately look into this. Mm-hmm. But they don't need to launch an investigation or do anything like that. Because then you really set the bar that accusations can really disrupt the sport, and I don't think you want that.
And they will be investigating it, but it's nothing beyond, let's look into whatever these claims are. Evander Kane can still go about his regular duties as a player until that investigation, anything fishy.
I don't have Evander Kane's entire career summary of issues in front of me, but I do feel like they've piled up over the years.
He doesn't have a clean slate.
This is kind of like when I read on air all the problems Janoris Jenkins has had in his life, and people got mad at me. But I just I didn't follow the guy, so I was like, "Isn't he a bad dude?" And so we just went to Wikipedia right then and there, and went from there. And people kind of got kind of mad about that. But oh well.
What's now that did or did not include his Rolls Royce being stolen from the economy lot at the Atlanta airport.
That had not happened at that point, that he had gotten his Rolls Royce stolen from the South Economy lot at the Atlanta airport. Those are headlines with Caroline. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's a weird thing being a talk radio host who deals with the fans as directly as we do. And there is something that I feel like we're allowed to put on the Titans. And I know some people are going to get mad about it, but I don't understand why we can't. That's next. Stillman and Company, we're delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming in the Game Nashville app.